We continue to do today, as we do every Sunday during the Advent season, is to light the Advent wreath, candles. The first week, we lit the candle of hope. I'm wondering today, as I was sitting here worshiping with you, what are you hoping for? What would you like to see happen in this next year? The more I spend time within my own culture and my own society, I keep thinking I would love for more and more there to be a people in our nation, its leaders. And we're, by the way, called to pray for our leaders. It's easier to criticize them. It's harder to pray for them. But we should be praying that God raise up men and women who whose concern is truly the people. Not some hidden agenda, not some self-centeredness, but a true love for the people of this nation and to care for them. That's what I'm hoping for. Yeah. There are many things that we could be hoping for in this next year. And then, second week, we lit the candle of peace. I find that in my conversations with others, and especially at home with Kathy, that there seems to be a continuing growing of unrest and turmoil. I really do think that it's part of setting the stage for things to come. But in the midst of all that, there is peace, because where the Lord's presence is, there is peace. And I know some of us probably struggle with that on an ongoing basis within our own lives because of the circumstances and situations in our lives. But I'd like to encourage you this morning that there is peace in His presence. All you have to do is just spend this time together like we are today in order to get a taste of that. We get to taste that every week as we come together. And today, it is my joy to, no pun intended, to light the candle of joy. Where the presence of the Lord is, there is hope, there is peace, and there is joy. And that's where I want to kind of set our course for today, is to experience God's joy. And in a sense of looking at it this way, metaphorically, is to turn the lights on, you know? Because whenever we're around situations where there isn't joy, you will admit that there's a sense of gloom at times. When a person is lacking joy, their countenance, what you see in their eyes is not this brightness, but a certain darkness. So I thought about people like Scrooge. Where is he? Where's my buddy? There he is. You look into that man's eyes, there is no twinkle. There's no smile. There is a lack of light in his life. You know, when you follow the story of, and I don't know, maybe some of you have. I happen to like one of my favorite versions, and I don't know if you don't own it, but if you have children, you have grandchildren, I encourage you to get it, is the Muppets version of A Christmas Carol. Anybody ever see that? It's hysterical. I love it. But in it, we have Gonzo. And Gonzo plays the part of Charles Dickens. And he takes us through the entire story. And he is telling it, and he's narrating it along with Rizzo the Rat. And it's just a great rendition of it. But one line that sticks out in my mind Gonzo, thank you. I'm going into Happy Days. Fonzie, what the heck? This is what happens when you get old, you know? This is what happens when you go. But as he's telling the story, one of my favorite lines in the beginning is this. He says, "Darkness was cheap, and Scrooge liked it that way," you know? And that's really kind of like the story of Scrooge. Whatever he had to be happy about at some time in his life was taken from him. He was robbed. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the one who comes into our existence, into our dark inhabitants, and brings light. Right? Matthew kind of spelled it out when he said this in Matthew 4:16. Although your people live in darkness, they will see a bright light. Although they live in the shadow of death, a light will shine on them. On them. And who is the them? Well, the them is everyone. And Isaiah says it this way. Those who walked in darkness have seen a bright light. And it shines upon everyone, everyone who lives in the land. In other words, it's not just for some. It really is for each of us, all of us. And I like to look at it this way. Christ has come. He has come to visit us to turn the lights on. Because we have a lot of things in life that like to shut the lights off. It's like the parent that many of us have grown up with who have followed us around the house and shut the lights off because they're saving electricity, you know? Well, that's quite often that's the way the world is with us. You know, it just wants to shut the lights off. So this morning, I want to talk about a people briefly that God turned the lights on for them. And I want to reflect with you upon the shepherds in the Christmas story. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. Shepherds are very real people. They're just real. And they're doing life. And so we're told as we enter into the story this morning that in the same region, that is in the same region that Christ would come, in the same region there were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news and great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go." In other words, let us do something about this. Let us explore what they have said. They went over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord had made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made it known. They made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Shepherds are in their mode. This evening would be no different than any other evening, so they thought. But that's not how it played out. That's not how it went down. Something dramatic took place for them that evening. As we know the story and as we have read the story countless times through the holiday seasons, and we're very familiar with it, their lives were in such a way that they were in the daily grind of it. 365, 24/7, doing their thing, living life, working it. Scorching heat by day, chilling and freezing cold by night, because that's the way it is out in the desert. And it was a constant cycle. You know what that's like, right? You're in a cycle of life. You know, it's like the old Dunkin' Donuts commercials. Got to get up and make the donuts, right? That's life for us. We get up and we have a routine. Now, those routines change over time. But as they change, you get into a new routine and you continue to cycle around. And for them, for the shepherds, it was that way. Hot and cold. Hot and cold. And then at times, there was the occasional loss. That is, losing a sheep. Whether it was lost or attacked by a wolf. But this was their cycle of life. You can see over time, anyone can get into a rut. Anyone could become so ingrained in what they're doing, kind of be on autopilot. And with that comes a lot of times frustration, wearing, you get worn down, you get discouraged. And for them, and maybe some of us can connect with this, there was a devaluing. You know, they weren't highly favored people among their culture. Looked down upon. They didn't make up, you know, those who were popular. And so this was their life, over, day in, day out, day in and day out. And you could see over time that someone who might have liked what they were doing at some point just was kind of lackluster, you know. These things in life, at times that you and I experience in our everyday, can become joy robbers, okay, where we kind of lose sight of the reason for living. Yeah, we do what we have to do because we have to pay the bills. We have to. But we go through the hot and cold and the loss of our days and our lives. And each of us experience it in different ways. Each of us. Okay? You know, sometimes things, you find yourself hot and bothered in a fire because of things that are hitting you in your life, in my life. And it's one thing after another. And sometimes you can be overheated with it and get burnt out with life. And then other times there are a chilling cold that comes by night because of certain aspects of our lives, especially with relationships, you know, where people can be cold to one another. You see that in business. We see it all around us. Sometimes we experience it in our families. A breaking of relationship, a fracturing. Life can be very cold. People can be very cold. And so we have this hot and cold. And then there are, that so often is acutely felt at this time of year, is a loss. We remember those. It's happened to me this past week, thinking about those who have gone on. Whether it was my mom, whether it was my uncle, who was like a second dad to me, my mother-in-law recently. You have your own list, family members, that you think fondly of over the years. And it doesn't matter how long they're gone. You visit times in the holidays, experiences that you have with them. You feel the weight of the loss. And it's all a part of the hot and the cold of our lives, the cycle and the loss. And it can leave us feeling melancholy and even bordering depression. How many people at this time of year, which is supposed to be a time that's supposed to be a joyful time of year, find themselves depressed and down? And maybe sometimes they don't even understand why they're feeling it, but it's there. They're not able to identify with it because they're going from one thing to another thing to another thing, but it's there. And we could lose hope. And we could be robbed of our peace. And certainly any joy that should be experienced can be dampened. But Christ came to visit us. And God sent him to turn the lights on in our lives because he has not made us a people who are to dwell in darkness. Much was the case of the nation of the people that he went to at the time. There was very little joy to be had, especially when your country is overran by occupiers. And you have to answer to another group of people. And you don't have certain freedoms. Christ came into that darkness. People with a loss of purpose and reason for their existence and wondering, where is God in this? And I want to tell you, there are a lot of people at this time of year, even good Christian people, who are saying, Lord, where are you? Where are you in all this? I want to tell you, we do well to remind each other and to join our hearts together and to remember that God came to turn the lights on. He sent his Son into the world that you and I could see where we're going, We can see the path ahead of us, that we have a reason, and we remind each other, remember that there is a reason for why we are here, regardless of how hard life can get, regardless of how cold and chilling our relationships can grow into, and how hot and furnaced our existence is, because we are just under it constantly. And so he comes to us and he says this from Isaiah 60. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Now, I was thinking about that this week. And you know what? In our day and time, I don't know if I would just walk up to someone, because, you know, it's not all about us, right? The church. It's about the people that are around us. And so there are people in great need. If you have a great need, just think about the people around you. Quite often we say, gee, I don't know how I would do this if he wasn't in my life. If I didn't have a relationship with Christ, I don't know how I would get through this thing, right? But quite often, stop and think when we say that there are people around us who don't have that relationship and who struggle. But I was thinking about, imagine walking up to somebody and saying, hey, arise and shine, for your light has come. And I could see that person looking at me going, get away from me. So I want to challenge you. How can we say these words? How can we share that message with people who really need it, but in a way that doesn't make them look at us like we have two heads and we're out of our minds? You know? But in any case, come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. That is a message for the season. And it's not just for us, because in it, Isaiah is talking about a much bigger picture than the people of Israel. He's talking about something that the world needs, something that our world needs around us. And sometimes we can become ingrown in our thinking. And it's so important for us to look out beyond our own four walls, that there are people in great need, and especially at this time of year. And so how can we, as a people, not only possess the joy once we have it in our grasp, but to share it? How can you and I be a light in someone else's life? I met someone yesterday evening before leaving the bridge in Malvern after our celebration. And it was a woman who's just recently entered into ministry. She has felt a call her entire life, and God placed her within this last year at that church. She's not a young kid, so she's starting at this late in life, and she's gotten one class under her belt, and I remember what that was like and where she was at. Unplanned, and I think this is how God does his best work, when you and I are just aware of who we are and that we are willing to share who we are with others, that he comes on the scene. And I was just able to talk with her. And going back on my own experience, be able to encourage her. One class at a time, one foot in front of the other, and watch what God will do. See, you and I have messages of hope and peace and joy that we can bring to someone else, and all we have to do is be willing to just share it with people. Be aware, be ready, and be willing to give away what God has given us, because he has given us great gifts, and there are people in great need. Great need. And so this morning, before we go, I'm just thinking that as Christ is our light and our joy, and if he enters into our dark existence to shine upon us, isn't that what he wants to do with all people? And maybe this morning, some of you have lost your reason for this time of year, or as we like to say, the reason for the season. Maybe you're so weighed down with so many different kind of concerns about being ready, whether it's meals or gifts or decorations, that you've kind of lost sight, and maybe you need today for him to touch you and restore his joy in you. Or maybe you're sitting here and maybe you have yet to understand or experience what it means to have His joy and how it can change your life, change your thinking, change your attitude, change how you do life. Regardless of where we're at, being here is being in the right place. Listen to what David wrote in the Psalms. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. But I want to focus on the restore to me the joy of your salvation before we go. You see, because that's where real joy lies in. We're talking about not a religion, not a religious observance. We're talking about a relationship. A relationship. There is a difference between just being acquainted and being in a relationship with someone. The latter goes much deeper. The former is just surface. God wants to get beneath the surface of each of our lives. And some of us have been at this thing for quite some time. Years upon years upon years. And sometimes we walk around like we have been drinking homemade lemonade, you know? Where there's not enough sugar, but there's plenty of lemon. And your face, and my face at times, is contorting. Because life isn't sweet. You have the bitter, sour taste of it. And God, we need a touch from God. That touch is found in the relationship that comes. A saving relationship with Him. And we need to come back to that place as believers. But then there are some of us maybe here today who have yet to drink of the cup. You know? Where that it's got the perfect balance, you know, of sweetness and tartness. Where God exists within our troubles. Because sometimes we kind of forget that He exists in my troubles, your troubles. He is there. And He can make life sweet for each of us if we would only but return to Him. Oh God, come. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. That I might dwell with you. That I might experience you in such a way at this time of year, but throughout the entire year, that I remember that you are the reason that I can smile. That you're the one that causes me to stand when I feel like my legs want to buckle. When I feel like I cannot lift the next load, you strengthen my arms. When chaos fills my head and I can't think straight, that you will bring things and make them clear to me. And when I so easily get sidetracked and derailed and lost, that you help me find my way. That is His salvation. He comes to bring us good news and to restore us, to replenish us, to refresh us, and to give us a new life. And I want to tell you, I don't care how many years you've been at it, how many years I've been at it, I need a new life. I want it. I got to have it. He's got to do something new in me. And as we prayed and talked about it today, He is so desiring to meet us and to fill us in this place. And so, in a moment, Pastor Nick's going to come and we're going to sing Joy to the World. And I want to tell you, we have every reason to sing it. Now, maybe you're not feeling it today. That's okay. There are plenty of days I don't feel it either, you know? But I make a choice. And I want to encourage you today to make a choice to reach out to Him, to experience His joy. It's more than a feeling. More than a feeling. It's more than a warm and fuzzy feeling. It's a choice to say, oh God, I need you. I want you to touch me. I want to experience your joy, if not for the first time, maybe for the 45th time. I need you. I need to, for you to touch me. And I want to tell you, before you leave this place today, if you need to, find someone to pray. Pastor John, Nick, and myself are always available. We will never turn around and say to you, please, not now. If you need to pray, or maybe there's someone you have in this congregation that you trust them, you know their heart, and you know that you could tell them anything. And they would love you. and they would pray with you. Find that person today and tell them what's on your heart. And I'm sure they'll take a moment and pray with you because they love you. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for this time. We commit all that you're doing today. We acknowledge that you are alive and well. And Lord, we reach for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening.
Stand with me and be joyful.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. And then there's all. Infest the ground. He come to make his blessings flow. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nation through the glories of his.
Let's end with the first choice.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. Let heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing.
Father, we thank you that you fill us with your joy. And it is your joy that brings us the strength that we need to go forward in this life. Surrounded by circumstances beyond our control, you still have everything in your control. We give thanks to you for that. And during this season, Lord, we pray that we would experience your joy in a new way, a fresh way, and be able to share that with others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.